So our daf in Masechet Chulin on this Matzoy Shabbos is daf Kuf Chof Aleph, and we are continuing on in our understanding of the opening Mishnah of Ha'or V'Aretev, and we're trying to figure out what the various things are that were mentioned in the Mishnah as not being food itself, but being something that could be mitzarev with food. We had various things that would be considered perhaps to be a yad or a shomer, or things that are actually edible together with other food but are not edible on their own. So the Mishnah spoke about a strange thing called ha-elal. Now, what exactly is elal? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it's a reference to martika. So what exactly is martika? There's a big machlokas here in the Gemara, and actually there's a big machlokas halal, what it is. Martika is a big machlokas rishonim, what it is. So some explain that the Rashi learns all over that martika is a reference to very thick tendon, or it's actually a sinew. It's a ligament, so it's usually identified as the cervical ligament, and it goes basically through the neck, connects the neck and spine. It's very hard, and it's certainly not edible, but if it were together with a piece of meat, so then Rabbi Yochanan Tainis, it would be what the Mishnah would be referring to. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, that's not what it is. Oh, I'm sorry, but I didn't finish. So there's other explanations over here. Tosfos brings that what it's talking about is basar meat. Basar meat means that whatever it would be that a doctor would have to actually cut away in order for the animal to recover, so that would be the martika. So it's not really edible basar. In other words, it's not going to become completely revitalized. And yet, if it were together with another piece of meat, you could eat it with it. Reish Lakish says that's not true. Reish Lakish says it has to be something that is more edible than that. We'll see, actually, whether this is a complete machlokes or whether the question is about one or the other as we go along. So Reish Lakish says what it's talking about is when you skin the animal. So obviously the knife that's used for skinning is unable to be precise. You can't get it exactly all the time between the edible basar and between the inedible or. So there's always going to be a little bit strips, thin strips of meat that are still going to be mechubar to the skin, but that actually didn't need to be. They were really edible, and if you were able to be more careful, then you wouldn't have had to cut them like that. And so that is real meat. The only thing is that currently it is connected to the skin, and we'll see that usually in doing such a thing, you're actually being mevatel their meaning as meat. So now the question is, from the pasuk, it does not seem that Reish Lakish is correct, because Eov, when he's complaining to his friends, and these are his friends that are giving him mussar, and they're telling him what he has to do in order to do teshuvah and to be better and to stop complaining, etc., etc. So he really gets pretty sick of their constant harping. So he tells them at one point, "V'ulam atem toflei shaker. Oh, you guys are holding on to all kinds of garbage. Rofeya lil kulchem." So here he uses the word alal to refer to what kind of doctors they are. You know, you think that you're a good psychiatrist, you're actually a bunch of idiots. But in order to tell them of how useless they are, he calls them Elil. So Bishlam Lamad Yom Martika. They're going to be Yochanan. Elil, if it means Martika, is a very big slap across the face, because Martika is completely useless. It's something that once it was taken out or broke, there's no way to fix it. And that's what they're saying. This is completely useless. You guys, all your advice is useless advice. And that would mean, that's why it calls them rofeh, like you're going to be able to do something about it. You can't heal that. You can't heal me. But if you're going according to Reish Lakish, I mean, you cannot say that that's such an indication of complete uselessness, because Bosser, Shepalatato Sakin, is certainly, if you were able to just to connect this to meat very often, I mean, even if a finger is cut off, sometimes you could just put it back into place. And if it's properly held into place, it might grow back. So since it is a bar refua, why would he call them rofei alil of things that actually are possible to be a refua on? No, you don't understand. Of course, everybody agrees that alil certainly means martika. And in the reference in Eov, obviously, he is referring to the meaning of Elal Amartika. That's the question. The question is whether the meaning of the word Elal in the Mishnah is referring to Mamish Martika, and even that is possible to be Mitzarif with Basar, and you can eat it if it's together with Basar. Whereas Reish Lakish says, that doesn't make sense. It needs to be something that is actually more edible. So Tashma, let's see if we can bring a riot to Reish Lakish as the Mishnah proceeds. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, He'alal ha-mechunas. If you take a lot of different pieces of elal and you put it together, so that if you have a full kezayit in one place, so then that would be directly edible. And because of that, it could be enough to be mitame Tumas Ochlin. We're not saying that it could now become tummy for Tumas Nevelis, because it could be once it's bottle. You can't reinstate a din of Nevelis on something that lost that din. So if Lamaisa, the Elal that was Mechubar, according to Reish Lakish, to the skin, was considered initially to be part of the skin, and therefore it's no longer going to be Metami Benevela, there's no chance that you can recreate the Tumas Nevela on something that has already lost its Nevela. That's for sure. But the question is that here we're talking about if it was actual Kezias B'Mokom Echad, so then apparently he would be Chayev if you touched it and you would be going into the Beis HaMikdash, so then you could actually be chayev. Now, we're going to see later that there is a way to understand that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it would actually be considered to be nevela. And the way to understand it that way is if, in fact, the gathering it together, hamachunas, if you have to gather it together, as Ravuna is about to explain, v'hu shekin is so. It's not if it happened to be together. It's if you went out of your way to collect it together in one place. So then we're going to see later on that it's possible that what you're doing by gathering it together is showing that the original slicing off, which was done by being not as careful as might be possible in doing a skinning, that was not done with any sense of wanting to leave that basar on the skin. So if you now go out of your way and gather it together, then that is megala lemafreya, that it never was bato. So we're going to get to that question later on about whether the moment that it was cut and is left on the skin and you don't have a shear to be metame in one place, so then there's a shaila about whether the actual skin is a positive bittul. And the fact, this is, we'll see it's a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah later, whether the skin is actually mevatalet. And that is going to change the way that we understand what's going on here with Ravuna's statement that if the only thing that Rabbi Yehuda meant, says Ravuna, is not if it happens to have enough together, but you had to go out of your way to be machshev it and to bring it together. But let's say some kids gathered it together. So over there, they don't have das to be koveya it. Then for sure, it's not considered to be a nevela. So we're going to have to take a look at whether there was lechatchila, was there a bittul of it, or was it an assumption of bittul? And we'll take a look at that, Bezrat Hashem, with the sugya coming up. So it's Davka Shehuka Shekinso. So getting back to what the implications of this are for the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Resh Lakish as to the identification of what the Olal is. So Bish Lamalaman Diomar, this Mishnah works out fine according to Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish says the meaning of the Olal in the Mishnah is that it's Basar Shepalatato Sakin. So the knife actually was the problem here. It's not there's a problem in the actual meat. There's nothing wrong with the meat. So it makes sense that then you can say that if you go ahead and you gather it together and you have a gezaiyas in one place, that then in a chinami you are showing that this is something that is chashev, and the din is that if you are erchlin in general are very sensitive to the question of how it is that you look at it. Because look, I mean, remember, we learned even that things that are mamish completely, we had this earlier in Masechet, things that are completely not edible. I mean, we're talking about the skin being mevatel, the meat, but we had the sugya before that if you boil the skin until the skin itself becomes edible, that then that's considered to actually be a ma'achal in terms of being makabel tuma. So if that's what we're talking about over here, so then it would mean that it's a ma'achal because you yourself were machshavit. And that's the din that a machshava itself makes all the difference to be makabel tuma seichlin. Look, obviously, you can't turn it back into an avela once it was bottled to the or, but you can certainly turn it back into a foodstuff. If you turn the nevela, it's the or itself into a foodstuff, that's no question. So therefore, the idea over here is we're left with a little bit of confusion because, I mean, if the issue is that it really would be edible if you bring it together, so then why in the world is it not considered to be edible if it isn't being brought together? I mean, either it is a foodstuff or it's not a foodstuff. So what exactly is the explanation? So, okay, all of this we need to be open to figuring out what exactly the meaning of it all is, even after we're going to define what the actual physical meaning of it is. Okay, so we were bringing a raya that since Rafuna says if you gather it together, then it becomes royed to be a tuma. So I understand, according to Resh Lakish, why that makes sense. Because if you bring together a kezayit of it, so then it really is meat on its own. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's a martika, what's the difference how much of it there is? I mean, a martika is simply not edible. It's considered to be eitz bi'alma. So I understand you could say if it's attached to a piece of meat, so then you would eat it together with the meat. But gathering together some of it, well, how does that help? It doesn't turn it into food just because you gathered it together. So in terms of the Mishnah's own machlokas, it's pretty clear that the martika that we're talking about has got to be the martika of Resh Lakish, namely thin slices of meat that were attached to the ar. How could it be martika? No, you don't understand. Everybody agrees that, of course, the word Elal includes Resh Lakish's understanding, that it's little slices of meat, that's for sure. And Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda lo pligi. There's no argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish according to Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, if Rabbi Yehuda is talking about gathering it together, he's not talking about Elal, which is Martika. The only Machlokas was according to the Tanakama. So the Tanakhama says that Elal is able to be mitzurev to the shear of the kezayis in terms of Tumas Erchlin. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, of course the Elal of Resh Lakish is able to be mitzarev, but I say even Martika could be mitzarev, because if it's just a little bit of Martika together with meat, so then you could chew it and eat it, right? Whereas Resh Lakish says, no. That meaning of Elal is not included in any of the shitas in the Mishnah. Because Davka Basar Shepalatato Sakin, it may be the meaning of Eov in the Pasuk, but it's certainly not what we're talking about over here in the Mishnah, because it's only Basar Shepalatato Sakin that you could possibly call edible, even if it's together with other meat. But Martika, it's not edible at all. And therefore, it would not be the meaning in the Mishnah. Okay, so when it comes to the actual use in the pasuk, we're all agreed. Halal definitely, in some places, means martika. There, Eov meant it as martika. The question over here is, what are we talking about? Aliba de Tanakama. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying if you gather it together, I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course, that's not referring to martika. Even Rabbi Yochanan understands that. It must be a reference to little pieces of meat. And now if you gather it together, so then we view it as being real meat, and would on its own be something that would be makabel tuma. Okay, so the question is, why? I don't understand. Why is it only mitztarev? If you're telling me that the situation over here is that if you bring it together and it's essentially real meat, it's just that it was thin slivers attached to the or, and that if you bring it together, this is what Ravuna claims, only if you bring it together, so then it's considered to be actually enough to be metame. But if it's talking about this basar that is palatat sakin, why do we say that it's mitztaref and not roi latuma on its own? It doesn't change. It's real meat. So if it's real meat, hai basar shepalatat sakin. So what are we talking about? If you had a machshava that you are going to eat it, even though it was stuck to the or, so then why do you have to gather it? Afilu ban penav shematami. Why is it not shayach to be bekabel tuma just on your own? Because after all, the halacha is once you machshav something, that makes it roi letumas eichlin. And we said that before. We learned that earlier in the Masechet, that we said if people have in mind to eat the or to eat the shilya, so then it becomes roi. If you cook it, then it becomes roi to actually be makabel tuma. So the same thing is true over here. If you had in mind that you're going to be eating this thin slices, why would they have to be mechuber to anything in order for them to be makabel tuma? They are certainly just with the machshava, they should be considered to be eichlein. And if he was not in any way machshavit, either lo chashiv alei, and there was no intention of eating it, so then if he left it on the skin, so then why wouldn't it be bottled to the skin? And therefore it shouldn't be mekabel tuma, even if there's other pieces of meat there, because it's like bottle to the or, and the or, unless the or itself is cooked and so on, like we saw in the sugi before, the or is mevatel it. So I don't get it. Either it is roi on its own, or it's not roi at all. So Rav Ovin and Rav Mayasha have different explanations, but which essentially turn the issue into a logistical question, in which one of them says, look, the Mishnah is talking about a case where the guy had, without defining precisely where, he definitely had a machshava to get some of this meat back, but not all of it. So over there, even if you have a shear of tumas eichlin, which is a kibetza, you didn't have a machshava to eat a kibetza, but you did have a machshava to eat some of it, so that some of it is able to be mitztarev to a kibetza. And if that's the case, so apparently you might think that if you weren't ready to actually eat the whole thing, maybe that's not considered to really be a machshava to eat it. If you were going to eat, or you have a specific piece, you said, I'm going to eat this. So, okay, then I understand that definitely would become roi to be makabel tuma on its own. But over here, you just have a vague intent. Maybe a vague intent doesn't count at all. So therefore, the chiddush in the Mishnah would be that that unspecified intent is considered to be sufficient to be mitzarev. So if you had in mind, let's say, to eat a small piece of it, so a small piece would be mitzarev. That was one approach. And the other approach is essentially the same weird situation, where there was actually a part that we could say is mitztarev, but it definitely is not the whole thing that was mitztarev. What would that be? So let's imagine a case where an animal was attacked by a dog, And the dog bit off a piece of the skin of this animal, and there was some buser that was attached to that skin. And so then the person went ahead, the owner went ahead and shechted it, and he skinned the rest of the animal. Look, it was in bad shape. He figured, listen, I might as well shecht it and eat it. Okay. So he shechts it, and now some of it, after he does the skinning, nobody remembers. Where was the part that was bitten by the dog? And where was the part that you skinned? I don't know. I don't remember. So miktzato palatato chaya. So some of it was bit by a dog, and there was a little bit of meat that had come off with it. And miktzato palatato sakin. And some of it was the result of his not being perfectly careful when it is that he did the skinning of the animal. So again, you might think, therefore, it shouldn't be able to be makabel tumas rechulin at all, because, I mean, lamaisa, you did not have that a part that was definitely something that you had in mind, because the stuff that was you did with your knife, that for sure is not considered to be food, because if you had in mind to do it with your knife, then you were mevatel it, unless, of course, you went back to collect it, but over here you didn't, so therefore. The part by the knife is for sure bottle. The part by the dog isn't bottle, and you didn't think about which part of it is. So you might think, we're going to see later on, that Rabbi Akiva holds that anything that is part of the or is considered to be bottle to the or. Fine. So then the question is, do we say that in this case, because some of it was taken off not by your machshava to actually use a knife on it, but was taken off just because of the attack. So you might think that none of it would be mitzarif kamash malon, that piece, in fact, would be mitzarif, and there's a little bit over here, even though I can't identify it, that was actually able to be mitzarif for tfumat tumasaychor. Okay, very logistical explanation. Now, Tanan Hatam, we do have a Mishnah in Tyrus, and that was, of course, one of our favorite Mishnayos, the opening of Masechet Tyres, that talked about the 13 different things that we learn about Nivlat Ha'of HaTohor. So you will recall that the fundamental din of Nivlat Ha'of HaTohor is that touching it is not metame, carrying it is not metame. The only way that you could be metame from a Nivlat Ha'of HaTohor is by swallowing it. So it's an act when it's in the Beit HaBliya, then it's metame. Now the question is, what parts of that oaf, what parts are metame? So the question is hachartom. Hachartom, Rashi says, is beak, peit yud kuf, which means beak. So if the beak of the bird, or the tzipor naim of the bird, are those things able to be mitamin? Well, they are definitely able to accept tumas eichlin from the outside, and they're able to be mitame tumas eichlin, because remember, there's no tumas mag of the nevela. So if it isn't mitamim, it could only mean as a foodstuff. And what's more, they are mitstarfim as well, in terms, again, I mean, they're mitstarfim. That doesn't mean they're mitstarfim, they're sheer of giving out tuma, because there is no tuma of touching anything. And therefore, they are what we're referring to over here. They are considered to be part of the flesh, benogea, the share of the kibetza, in order to be mekabo tuma. So if they're considered to be foods, then they're mekabo tuma. Now the question is, how can you possibly consider the chartom to be food, that it should be able to be mekabel or even mitztaref with eichlin? Isn't that, I mean, a beak is just like pure keratin. And you might as well try eating a piece of wood. I mean, eitz be'almohu. Omer Rebbe Elazar, we're talking about the lower beak, the chartom tachton. What's the difference, upper beak or lower beak? What kind of nonsense is that? The lower beak is just as hard as the upper beak. Tachton nami eitz be'almohu. What are you referring to? Omer of Papa, no, you don't understand. What he's saying is the lower part of the upper beak, because what we have over there, the beak of the bird continues the palate of the mouth, and it has real tissue, edible tissue, along the bottom of the upper beak, the same way that a human mouth has that tissue. Now, here it extends throughout the beak till the end of the beak. That's what I'm referring to. So the under tissue of the upper beak is actually considered to be Eichlin. And when I'm talking about the Tziponaim, how in the world could you include the nails, the claws, how could you include that in the Tumas Eichlin? Omar Rebbe Elazar, the place where, just like in a human hand, the place where the fingernail goes underneath the actual flesh of the finger, at that point, it is very sensitive, very soft, and is considered to be actually the equivalent of basar. That's what it's referring to here as well. The mekum hamuv la'im bebasar. And the horns? When the Mishnah says the horns of an animal, how could that be able to be bekabel tumas eichlin? Amr of Popet there too. The Mishnah is referring to a mokum shechotchim liotzei mehem dam. So where the horn actually comes into contact with the head, it is actually supplied with a blood supply. And it is very much in transition from the basar on top of the skull that then becomes keratin in the same way that a nail becomes keratin. And the lower part is indeed the equivalent of the nail that's beneath the skin of the fingers. So it's the mokum shechotchim v'yotzei mehem dam. It's close to the bottom and the area where if you cut it, it will bleed. So then it's obviously not keratin anymore. Kayotzei bo. Hashochet behema. So the same thing is true. We had a crazy din in which it shayach to shecht a little piggy. Oh, little piggy. So what happens if you would shecht a little piggy? That sounds ridiculous. Shechting a little piggy is not a shechita, is it? So the Mishnah introduced this crazy idea that if a Jew does a ma'isa shechita for a goy on a non-kosher animal, it makes a difference. What's the difference? It certainly can't take off the din of Avram and Achai if the animal is still technically alive. It's still mefarcheset. It has to be dead in order to allow the ben noach to eat it. So the Mishnah says the impact that it has is that it can be mekabel tumas eichlin, even though it really is still Avram and Achai because the shechita wasn't matir, you see. So if this would have been a kosher animal, then the shechita could have actually been matir the Avram and Achai also. But since it's not a kosher animal, it's only going to be marshevet to be an eichlin. So what will be the nafkamina? Anyway, it's going to be an avela. Yes, it will be an avela. But at the current moment, it's not dead yet because it's still mefarcheset, it's still convulsing. So technically speaking, it's alive. And therefore, the chiddush is that in this strange state, it is going to be mekabel tumas ochlin, which of course will only be nogea up until the moment that it dies, maybe 5 minutes from now and so on, after it was shechted. But the point is that in between, if it would touch something else, it would be matame, that thing, if that thing could be mekabel tuma from ochlin. So that was the crazy thing that we had in the Mishnah. I pointed out if you want to give your kids riddle, ask them when you can actually do a ma'isa shechita on a non-kosher animal. And what difference would it make? So here we have this strange halacha, legabe the din of tumas eichlin. Since it was shechted for a goy, and a goy will be eating it, and obviously it can't turn it into what a real shechita would do, which means to turn it into an eichlin even vis-a-vis Avram and Achai, but it does turn it into a foodstuff. Omer Vasi, listen, you should know that our Mishnah only has half of the story because there are other Tanoim that are Shonim. They add an additional case of the inverse because we had the case of Yisroel who's shechting the non-kosher animal. But they add a case if a goy shechts a kosher animal. Okay, so the goy can't do shechita either, but he's doing the shechita of a kosher animal for a Jew. So in order for these things, both of them, in order for them to be makabel to Tumas Eichlin, they can be makabel to Tumas Eichlin, even though a goy shechita is ridiculous in terms of being matir for Eivah Menachai. It's not matir. That's just as stupid as the Yisrael shechita of a piggy being matir Eivah Menachai. But it has the same impact in terms of giving it a din of Eichlin, as long as there was a machshava to actually feed it to someone who will be eating it. So it's, if a goy is there and is willing to eat it, then fine. And not only that, in order for it to be makabel tumah, which is the chiddush that we're seeing over here, it would require hechsher, like any other food. So it needs hechsher, mayim mimalkom acher. We're going to have to make sure, if it's going to be makabel ochem, that it had been actually wedded by one of the Shiva Mashkin and before it touched the tumah. Now, here is where we get into a fascinating question, because there should be no reason why it needs hechsher. Remember that the whole din of hechsher was said specifically in terms of the kol zera zeruah and so on, right? So we're talking about over there that if ki yitain mayim al zera, then you need that mayim in order for it to be roy to be makabel tumah. But that was only talking about zeraim. And something that is not similar to Zraim, which is what? Well, something that is going to be a nevela. So this thing is an incipient nevela. It's got another minute or two to live after the Shechita. And you're saying that in order for it to be makabel tumas eichlin, it requires heksher. But we have a general rule, which I'm sure has already been written up in Gavi's list. Since he has a magic pen that looks across all of the previously entered rules. So, I mean, look, even these silly AIs can do that. Certainly a magic pen wouldn't have any trouble at all. And just in case, this is a Gavi rule, which is called Kol Shesofo L'Tameh Tumah Mechamura is Lo Bo Hechsher. If something is in a situation such as this, it was shechted, it's currently still convulsing, so it's alive. It's called Mefarcheset. But since in a few moments it is going to be dead, so at that point that it will be dead, it's going to be Mekabel Tumah Chamura, right? Now, if that's true, so then the ruling is before it's actually dead, it still does not need to be Mekabel Tumah Seichlin. And this we learn from the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel talks about the pasuk that we've spoken about so many times. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, when it says ki yutan mayim al zera, so that means that the model for hechsher is zraim. So just like zraim can never be metame tumah chamura, there's no way that zraim can ever be mekabel tumah chamura, even if they touch a mace. They're not makabel tumah chamura, because only things that are shayach, we learn this out from the pasuk, only things that have tahira b'mikvah can be makabel tumah from a mace, and therefore they will not be makabel tumah chamura. And that means that the Torah specifically talks about things that need hechsher that are completely impervious to tumah chamura. They will never be matamik tumah chamura, no matter what. So that is the only case that we have in the Torah where the Torah described hechsher, that you have to have one of the mashkin that's going to be touching it. They need hechsher. And that becomes the model. Af kol she'ein sofo l'tamei tumah chamura, tzorech hechsher. Therefore, only those types of foods that can never be mekabel tumah, they are going to require hechsher. Now, an avela. Oh, an avela is metame tumah chamura, but an avela is metame odom. An avela is metame kelim. So that means that by definition, it does not need hechsher. So why are you saying that in order for these strange cases in the Mishnah to be makabel tumah, they have to have hechsher? They do not have to have hechsher, because since in the end they're going to be tame tumah chamura, so then there's no need for them to have hechsher. Vitanya, Omar Rebbe Yossi. Let's say a case where you've got a nivlas of tahor. Now, nivlas of tahor cannot be metame, but it is sofo tame tumah chamura. meaning that in the event that somebody would swallow it, it would be metame tuma chamura. So now, as a foodstuff, it does not require hechsher, because since it has incipient tuma chamura, that's enough to take it out of the ruling of kol zera zeruah. So Rabbi Yossi explained that, bipnei ma amru nivlat of tahor tzricha machshava ve'ena tzricha hechsher. So it needs to have, since people don't normally eat dead birds, unless they are goyim that are buying in a supermarket. So fine, you need to have a machshava that you're going to be feeding this to a goy in order for it to be able to be mekabel tuma. Now this, by the way, remember we had the difference of whether you're in a large city or in a small town. So in a large city, there's always people that will eat anything, and therefore it's shayach to be tuma sochlin, as we mentioned before. I mean, you can get some Chinaman to buy a dead dog too, you know. But in a small town, you only have things that people will normally be eating. And therefore, nivlas of tahor, in a small town, tzricha machshava, that I'm bedavka going to feed it to this guy, but in a tzricha hechsher, why does it need hechsher? Mipnei shesofala tamei tuma chamura. Because since if you did swallow it, so then it would immediately be metamiyu, and by definition, it doesn't need any kind of additional extra. So why does Rav Asi say that in order for the case of the Mishnah, or the case in the Shonim of the other Tanoim, in other words, either in the case where the Yisrael is shechting a non-kosher animal for a goy, or a goy is shechting a kosher animal for a Yisrael, in both cases, the shechita is a joke, but why in the world does it need, in that interim 5 minutes, why would it need hechsher, since as soon as it dies, it is going to be metame tuma chamura? Omar Chizkia, well, what makes you say it's going to be metame tuma chamura? I see you have never seen Chizkia's chopping machine. My gosh. Okay, this is the old Mr. Chizkia McQueen. How could you be so mean? I told you you'd be sorry you invented that machine. All the animals in the block will never more be seen. They've all been turned to sausages in Chizkia McQuick's machine. So, you haven't seen my machine, said Chizkia. I just put them through that machine, and they're turned into an avela instantly in little tiny pieces. So therefore, they won't be metame tuma chamura because they're not big enough after they go through my machine. They're not big enough to be metame tuma chamura. So what makes you say that it's so full of tame tuma chamura? Okay, so then maybe it will never be metame chamura. Metame tuma chamura. So omele Reb Yirmiyah le Reb Zera, how can you say that Chizkia said that? In other words, it would mean that while the animal was shechted, it's not metame tuma chamura. And it's not necessarily going to end up being metame tuma chamura because it may never die. It may be turned into sausages in Chizkia McQuick's machine. And therefore, it will only be these little tiny pieces. So, but the problem is that we know that Chizkia said that something as soon as it would have one of its, both of its simonim cut, even if it's still alive, it is going to actually be the same as a dead animal. Now, in order to understand this sugya, you need to be familiar with Schrodinger's cat, because you're convinced, I'll bet, that the animal is either dead or alive. Aha! But our sugya is going to show you that animals are not necessarily either dead or alive. What kind of childish assumption was that? So it's very cute. Okay. So the question is like this. If we find that Chizkia holds that an animal that was shechted, shnayim, rov shnayim, or moshchita, but it's still being mefarcheset, Chizkia says, there is no way to be mechayev for evorim. So in other words, this is not considered to be a animal that could possibly be a Eiver Min HaChai. Obviously, it's not talking about a kosher. Kosher animal for sure is not. Is immediately you do Shechita on it, so then it's not considered to be alive. But what we're saying over here is, how about a non-kosher animal, which is what our Mishnah was discussing, and it's still being mefacheset, and Chizkiya says, even so, it is not going to be mechayev someone for Eiver Min HaChai. Now, if it's not going to be mechayev someone for Eiver Min HaChai, apparently Chizkiya holds that it's dead. And if it's dead, so how could he say it's not so for the Tamitu Mechamura? It, before it even got into Chizkiya's machine, it would already be Mitamitu Mechamura. As we said, we're talking about the case where it was alive while it was already shechted. But here Chizkiya is saying, nope, it's already dead at that point. For Haraya, it's not Eiver Min HaChai. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it is Eiver Min HaChai. Yes, no, Eivorim. So Chizkiya Amar, Eina Le'Eivorim, because once you cut the Simanim, so now it is basically considered to be dead. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, Yeshna Leivorim, it's not dead. Now, if Chizkiya holds that it's called dead, even if it is still big befarcheset, so then it's already an avela. And if it's already an avela, so then it's already metametum is avela. So how could Chizkiya possibly have said that it's not so full of tametum achamur, it's already being metametum achamur? Well, what am I missing over here? You're making a big mistake. Just because it's not alive, that doesn't mean it's dead. All that Chizkiya said was it's not alive. So it's not Eiver Min HaChai. Now, what kind of silly person arrives at the absurd conclusion that just because something isn't alive, it's dead? Nonsense. So it's no longer alive, but it isn't dead either. Yatzta michlal chaya v'lechlal meta lo ba'at. Why is this? Because when the Torah talks about Eiver Min HaChai, so then it's in terms of chiyut of the nefesh, right? But when the Torah talks about nevela, it says beferish ki yamut lachem. So basically, it's two completely different states. One is a chiyut that implies nefesh, which is a real chiyut. And the other one implies a total meta. So that means that the requirements for the din of nevela are very different than the requirements for non-Eiver Min HaChai, you see? So therefore, halachically speaking, it's not alive, but it's also not dead, because it's still not considered to be chimeta lechem min habeima. Gufa. Let's talk about that machlokas. Machlokas here between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Shachar par shnayim or rov shnayim. Ve'adayin hi mefarcheset, Chizkiya omar eina le'evarim. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeshna le'evarim. And Rabbi Elazar says, listen. Forget about Chizkiya. You should just take what Rabbi Yochanan said as a given, that yeshna le'evarim, you will be chayav Eiver Min HaChai, because I can show you that there's a braita that Rav Hoshaya wrote that is 100% behind Rabbi Yochanan. It says like this: Yisrael sheshachat behemat me'al ovet kochavim, and he was shachat b'shnayim or rov shnayim, and now the animal is still being mefarcheset. Our case, exactly our case, the case that is the machlokas between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. So here, the braita says that it's metama tumas erchlin avolot tumat nevelot. It's not dead yet, and certainly until it actually dies, because says Kiyomut, it is not going to be mitami anything. However, if it touches something that's mitami ochlin, let's say it comes into contact with a sheretz or with a person who's tummy, so then it'll be makabel tuma, and it will be mitami tuma sechlin. Aver haporesh mimeno. Now let's say you cut off one aver. So remember what an aver means, that it's considered to be an entire aver, basar, gidim, hatzamais, that makes it an aver. So if you cut off an aver, so then the halacha always is that an aver that is cut off from a living animal is considered to be metame like an avela. But there's one difference. If it is an aver min HaChai that is metame like an avela, if you cut off a piece of basar from that aver min HaChai, that piece of basar will not be metame like an avela, because by cutting off the basar, you no longer have the basar gidim v'atzamais. in that basar. Masha enkein, if you cut off a piece of basar from an nevela, then it would, of course, always be metamik and nevela, because a kezayis basar and a nevela is metame. Remember that was the only difference between the tumas nevelas of an actual animal that's a nevela, or the equivalent tumas nevelas of an avrim and achai, which is metame like a nevela. And that is the difference here as well. So, basar haporesh mimena, kebasar haporesh minachai, and it is not going to be tame because it's only the full eva that's metame. Still, it would be, even as basar, it would be asur livnei noach, and once it was cut off while it was alive, it's never going to become kosher for a ben noach, because having been cut off in that fashion, it remains also forever, because it was always basar min achai. So even after the animal dies, afilu yachash teitzei nafsha, it remains basar min achai for a ben noach. Shachat ba'echad or rov echad, what if you would have shechted just one of the simonim? And then it is not able to be metame tumas ochlin because it's still alive. That's what we said. The only din that gives it tumas ochlin over here is the fact that you did an act of shechita. But if you only cut one of the simonim, so then that's not an act of shechita, in which case it's not going to be metame tumas ochlin. And if you didn't do shechita, you just killed it, so to speak, but it's still convulsing. Sinichara, you stabbed it. So it's not going to be metame. It doesn't have any kind of tumor. It's not going to be metame as an avela because it's alive, because it's still before chesed. And it's not going to be mekabel tumor at all because you didn't do a shechita at all. You did an achira. And an achira is in no way making something into specifically a foodstuff. And in the opposite case, where an oved kochavim shechs a behima tahora for a Yisrael, in the same situation, which we talked about the shonim before, Rabbi Yossi, if the oved kochavim shechts, so to speak, I mean, it's obviously not a real shechita, shechts a behima tahora, and it is still mifar chesed. So it's the same halacha. It'll be mekabel to masechlin, but it is not an avela yet. And if you cut off an aver from it, it's an aver min achai. It's not an aver min amet, which means that if you cut off a piece of meat from that aver, then it's not going to be metame. And basar that is taken from it while it is still, so it's still mifar chesed, is the equivalent of basar min achai, and it would still be asur livnei noach even after it actually died, because it was cut off while it was still being mifar chesed. If the goy shechted only one simen, or rove of one simen, so then it for sure does not turn it into an oichlin, because it's not similar to an act of shechita. And in that case, it would not be kabel tuma at all if he stabbed it again. If it's still convulsing, so then it's not dead. It's not an avela, and there's didn't do anything to it to be machshev it as an oichlin. It won't be kabel tuma at all. Now, how about if the goy and the Yisroel do each of them a part of the shechita? What's the halacha then? We had this in the beginning of the Masechet, actually, the idea of the similarity. Remember, to Chatzikon pogrom, we talked about Chatziponim pogrom, that it's Nase, Ki'ilu, Shochat, Akum. That's a reference to this Gemara that we finally get to 100 dafim later. So, Shochat, Oivet Kechavim, B'mokom She'eno Se'o Tatrefa. Boy Yisrael Gemara. So let's say the goy cuts the kone. And the kone, if it's not rove, is not going to be a trefa. Only the veshet is a trefa if it's cut b'mashu, right? And over here was the kone, was the trachea that was cut, and it wasn't cut rove. And now a Yisrael comes, and there's another millimeter to do the shechita. The Yisrael finishes the last millimeter. Then it's completely kosher, because the first part had no implications whatsoever, and the shechita was completed by Yisrael. But on the other hand, if the Yisrael was shachat, and he didn't complete it, So there it doesn't matter whether he did the shechita in a makom that does make it a treifa in the veshet, or a makom she'eino a treifa, and a goy comes along and he finishes it, then it has no meaning at all, because the important moment of the shechita was done by a goy, and it would be pasul. Now, in a practical term, suppose you would like to eat from an animal that is extremely fresh. So, you don't, after all, you're looking for a South African braai. Now, how fresh can you get? I mean, it's going to be bloody, I understand. But could it still be almost alive? Like, how much could you get close to the real thing? That's the question. Well, if you want to eat from an animal that you actually have a piece of meat that was taken from the animal before it even died, well, that's easy. What you do is, you do a Maisav Shechita, and then you cut a kezayit, or as much as you want, from the Beit HaShechita itself. You don't have to go, you don't have to wait even a second to take off the skin or from anywhere else. You have an exposed throat. Take a piece of meat from there, and molcho yofa yofa, medicho yofa yofa. You have to have a specifically yofa yofa, because over here you need more melicha than usual. Because normally, remember that the animal's goneach, and in the genicha, and making those sounds of the yetzias hanefesh, it actually causes blood to spurt out. If you're going to cut off a piece of it, then you have to make sure that you do an extra special, powerful melicha, because that blood did not spurt out because you cut it before the animal actually died. And then it's not nice to eat it, because of the lo tochlu al ha-bazon. You shouldn't eat lo tochlu al ha-dam, which is just a general concept that means a lot of different things. One of the things that it means is, an esmachta b'yama, is it's not right to eat from an animal before the animal dies, even though it's kosher, because over here you did the shechita. But you cut the meat off while the animal was still mefarcheset. So it's extremely fresh meat. You know, mamtin lo achetet se nafsha, and not only a Jew is allowed to eat this, even a non-Jew is allowed to eat it. Why? Because of another Gavi rule. And that Gavi rule is, Ein lecha davar shemutar liYisrael, that is osur levenayach. So once something becomes mutter for Yisrael, so kosher kain, the goy is going to be mutter to have it. That's from a different halacha. Okay, so it's not nogea the halacha we had before. And this idea is basically a riot to what Ravidi Bar Avin said. The Ravidi Bar Avin quoted Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan that if somebody wants to have a really healthy piece of meat and he wants to be mavri himself, so he wants to eat the healthiest kind of fresh meat, chotech kezayit basar mibet hashrita, molcho yofe yofe, medicho yofe yofe, mamtin la achetetze nafsha, and echad ovet kochavim, vi echad yisro mutarimba. All right, so we've got this strange situation of shechita of a non-kosher animal. I mean, like, how good of a shechita does it have to be? Like, what if he was shoheh, you know? Or what if he was doras? And what if he didn't check the knife before the shechita of this piggy? Is that going to change the status of it in terms of this halacha, that it's considered to be a foodstuff? So Rabbi Elazar wanted to know, what if you were just shoheh, and you remember shehiyah is you take a little break for a second between one part of shechita and the other, at that moment it becomes a treifa. So if you're shaba, or if you press too hard on the knife and you did a drisa, so then what's the din over there? Is that the same? And it would be also shayach to tumas oichlin, or in this case it's the equivalent of doing a actual mechira. Omer Yahu Saba, so that certain old man said, Ochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, this, in order for it to be roit, for Kabbalah Tumas Eichlon, it needs a super duper kosher shechita, hechsher shechita. What is a hechsher shechita? I mean, all you need to say is tricha shechita. But anyway, tricha hechsher shechita kibehima tahir. It needs to be a 100% A-OK Shechita, but what's this deal of Hechsher? What did that word add? What are we referring to? Just say it needs a Shechita, right? Ah, you have to check the knife before. If you didn't check the knife, then it's not going to be a good Shechita of the piggy. Who ever heard of shechting that nice piggy without doing a bedikas sakin? So when we're talking about Shechita, to make it into an Eichlin, we're talking about a 100% a... Of course, this is one Hechsher that cannot say, Yochlu anovim v'yismochu, no way, Jose. But nonetheless, you got to have some big rabbi signed on the Shechita in order for it to be mekapo, tumas eichlin. Now, there's one issue that we haven't really talked about. So we talked about if something is alive or dead, or neither alive nor dead. But we were talking about that in terms of the dinim of Eifer Menachai, and we were talking about the dinim of Nevela. But I got another question for you. There's a din of Tum'ah Blua. So this is something, somebody swallows, the case in the Mishnah actually we had, was somebody swallows a ring. Now this is we've not only had Schrodinger's cat, but now we're getting to the Lord of the Rings all in the same day. Somebody swallows a ring, and it's not just any ring. And he walks into an Ohel HaMeis. Mordor is full of Ohel HaMeis. After all, the Lashon of Mor is actually itself is the Lashon of Misa. That's Merirus of the Yom HaMisa, which is why it's called Mordor. It's the place where Merirus lives in Mordor. So if that ring was exposed to Tumas Meis, if it was inside of the stomach of a living organism, then it would not be Makabel Tuma. So once you escape from Mordor and you excrete that ring, it's not Tumas. Even though it was in, and that's called Tum'ah Blu'ah. So it's something that was, if it's inside of something dead, then it's not called Blu'ah. So the question is this shechted animal dead or alive when it comes to Tum'ah Blu'ah? Aha, you didn't tell me that one. So what's the din over there? Ma'u shetatzila la blu'in shebetocha. Said Reb Sheshes, that's crazy. How can something be food? It's metame tumas ochlin, and it's going to be able to be matzalit as a blu'ah. It's a piece of food. If you put the ring inside of a licorice bar, it would certainly be mekabel tuma if it was inside of an ohel hameit. Says Rabbi Zera, well, I could say the opposite. It's not an avela because it's not being metame tumas avelas, and it's not going to be matzil. Why would it not be matzil as blu'ah? Excuse me, so I can make a counter-argument? So that doesn't prove anything. Therefore, says Abaye, look, what Rashi seems to learn is that Tosfos Taina is against it, is that we look at it, l'chumra, in both directions. So since it is metame tumas ochlin, you're going to have to be machmer on it that is not going to be able to save the ring from tuma. However, if somebody goes ahead and sodomizes this animal, he is going to be chayiv. Why? Because it's not a dead piece of meat, since it's not metame tumas nevelas. So therefore, we'll be machmer in both directions. Now, Tosfos Taina, what do you mean? You can't be machmer in both directions if you're talking about a chayiv. You can't be b'chayiv someone if it's a suffix. So I mean, how could Rashi look at it b'chol as a suffix if it's going to be b'chayiv him? So therefore, he tainas, that's not the point. The point is that it is considered to be chaya l'chol dvoreha. So because of that, somebody who screws this animal, he's going to be chayav. And nonetheless, because it's metame tumas eichlin, it is, by definition, an edible thing. And an edible thing, even though it would be a chay, that it's not because of a chumra, because of the edibility itself that it is going to be considered to be mechayev. So therefore, you have both of them. Haruv achayavta ina metame tum'at nevelah.